The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, we're continuing our journey that we've been on since the first of the year to learn and grow in our ability to take that deposit of the fullness of the Spirit that's been given to every one of us and make it more of a reality in our lives, in our body and in our soul, to take the faith which has been given to every one of us and make it a more of a reality in our body and our soul. We've been establishing the fact that the spirit man has the fullness of God within us, as amazing as that sounds. And we have him by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, "My Father and I will not leave you orphans, but we will come and we will make our home in you." And, we established last week that God was so excited about getting out of the Holy of Holies, which was a temple, so that he could get into the Holy of Holies, which was a temple not built with hands, but meaning you and meaning me and meaning the people of God of that day and for every generation that has come since. So last week we gave the message, we're doing a two-part thing. Well, let's read that scripture out of Romans chapter 12. This is not where we're preaching from, but this is kind of the foundation. The Apostle Paul writing in chapter 12 in verse 1 saying, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And we put forth a challenge last week for us just to examine, are we as an individual, and it is individual, by the way, have we purposed in our heart to be in the process of being transformed, or are we simply being conformed to the world? There is a pressure to conform. You all know that. You live in that. We all live in that. Our kids live in that every day. And it is a pressure. We just drew some distinctions between the difference between being conformed and transformed. Conform takes place by pressure. Transformation takes place by growth. Being conformed is outward. Being transformed is inward. Being conformed is visible in the visible realm. Being transformed is in the invisible realm. Being conformed is based on what I can see, touch, feel. It's based on facts. It's based on physical reality. Being transformed is invisible and is about the invisible realm. In fact, that's why Paul said, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Set your eyes, look at the things which are not seen. And one of the secrets to learning to walk in the Spirit is to be able to see the unseen things. That's why I can say with a confidence, because the Word tells me, but I can say with a confidence, the clapping of hands is not just exercise in the natural. It is a moving of some things in the spiritual arena. Why? Because we see the unseen things, and we believe more in what is unseen than what is seen. When we talk about living out of our spirit, we're talking about living out of our inward person, the real you, the person that is going to heaven, the person that will live forever, the person that we will recognize when we get to heaven. I can't wait to see some of you in heaven. It's going to be interesting. But I personally believe we will recognize one another. I believe part of what will be make heaven heaven is you will be there. Spirit to spirit. And there's, well, what makes you you is your spirit. It's not your soul and it's not your body. We're going to get a new body. Thank you, Jesus. But and we'll go through a total transformation in the realm of the soul and the body. But the spirit man is already complete in him. That's why God can make some amazing sweeping statements about you, like you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's your spirit man. That's your inner man. And so we can say, well, then that's not me. No, that is you. That is the real you. And more, and that's the journey we're on. More and more, the real you is coming forward. Being conformed is temporal. Being transformed is spiritual. Being conformed leads to death. Being transformed leads to life. And it is a daily choice. So we talked some about that. And we talked, the title we gave last week's message was, I got it written down, but I've also got it in my head. Be transformed by God's word in your mouth. Because we talk, be transformed by God's word in your mouth. And we talked about the importance of the confession of our mouth. Not just blabbing whatever, but in the same way, we went to Romans chapter 10, where it said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. In the same way that righteousness came into my life, and in the same way that getting saved, salvation came into my life, that is how I live my life for the rest of my life. Believing in my heart and confessing with the mouth. What we say really does matter. And can you put up that scripture out of 1 Timothy? This is just Paul. I'm still not preaching this week's message. This is still part of last week's message. Fight. This is Paul writing to Timothy, his student. Fight the good fight of faith. Everyone say good fight.
Good fight.
It is a good fight. In fact, that's the only fight that you and I are to call. So when we're clapping the hands, we're not, we're just entering into faith. We're just entering into, it does something in the spirit. Why do I say that? Because the word of God says that. It says the clapping of the hand sends the enemy fleeing. So I believe it. That's stupid. Somebody had a prophetic word this morning. God is not logical. He's not a big brain. He's a big heart.
Amen.
Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. What? What? Lay hold of it. I thought it was just all freebie. You know, it just. It is, but you got to lay hold of it. Paul said it another way. He said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What? What's he talking about, Willis? See, we have a part to play in all of this. And our part to play is fighting the good fight of faith to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession. A good fight. You know what a good fight looks like? A good confession. A good declaration of your mouth. And again, we said last week, you don't just blab anything that comes to your head. You blab what God blabbed. So that God's word is in my mouth. And then it has the backing of heaven behind it. It has some oomph. When you say what God said, it has some of good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So there you are. So last week we talked about being conformed or transformed by the declaration of God's word in our mouth. This week I want to talk about being transformed by the glory of God. See, there are two forces at work upon the earth in the transformation process for you and I. The word and the spirit. And they both are from God, and their purpose is to transform you and me. And they bring a transformation process within us. And we need to cooperate with that process. If you're here this morning and you assume that just automatically happens without your help or your permission, that is not so. It's very easy to be backslidden in our day in the body of Christ. And that word does not mean to slide backwards. It means not to go forward. How many of you grew up on a farm? How many of you grew up around cattle? Then this picture will make a lot of sense to you, because this is what the word backsliding or backslidden means. The picture in the original language, and it is a picture that's so vivid in my mind because I grew up with dairy cows and beef cows. It is a picture of a heifer, front feet into the ground, back sitting back on his haunches, refusing to move forward. And if you've ever tried to move a cow that does not want to be moved, they know how not to be moved. And there is a way to move them by twisting their tail. It kind of paralyzes the back legs and they lose some strength. But the reality is they figure that out, so they sit back on their haunches so you can't get a hold of the tail. And they are very hard to move. For some of you animal rights activists, you may not like this next statement, but they can be moved with a tractor. That's all I'm going to say. But that's the picture of backslidden. It isn't about moving back. It's about refusing to move forward. And in your life and in my life, there must be a desire within us to move forward. I have a quote here somewhere. I'm reading it before I planned. Unless a person comes to Christ seeking to be a different person, he is not coming to Christ at all. A.W. Tozer. Unless a person comes to Christ seeking to be a different person, he is not coming to Christ at all. I know that's true in initial conversion, but I believe that's true in our daily lives. For me to say I'm coming to Jesus, but I have no intention of changing, I have no intention of being transformed into something different than what I am now. See, this... Can I tell you what you're being transformed into? The image of his dear son. Amen. You look more like Jesus than you did last year. Amen. And that desire should be in all of us. And it has to do with fruitfulness in ministry, but it also has to do with his character being established on the inside of us. Being changed. So, and the word of God does that. The confession of our mouth does that. But also does the glory of God. The presence of God. The person of God. Hanging with him. And all of this is about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you're not saved. That's rude. No, actually, that's Bible. There must be a believing. There must be a faith. And we established last week, it's not your faith, it's his faith. And how'd you get it? It came from a preacher. How shall they believe if they've not heard? And how shall they hear if there's no preacher? And how shall they preach if they're not sent? Now, it could have been your mom. It could have been your dad. It could have been a Sunday school teacher. But you believed a message. But guess what? The ability to believe the message was in the message. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, carries with it the faith to believe it. That's why I have every confidence in these kids that are getting taught in Sunday school. Because I was one of them once. And I didn't know that I was listening. I tried my best not to listen. I tried my best not to care. And I made sure the teachers knew it. But the word of God won out because it carried with it a message. It carried with it, Peter calls it an incorruptible seed. It is. I tried. It's not corruptible. Turn with me on this journey of faith. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Isn't that precious? Isn't that a nice setting? Ah, peace with God, grace. And then we read on. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Wait a minute. What? No, that must be a typo. No, not only that, but we also, because of this faith and because of this confidence in God, we were just talking about being partakers and seeing the glory of God. Now we're glorying, same root word, we're now glorying in pressure, tribulation. Remember the pressure that causes you to conform to the world? There it is. And we have a decision. When the pressure comes, and it will come, it does come. And it doesn't, you know, we can get into a big dialogue. Well, does it come from God or doesn't it? No. And yes. And sometimes and maybe. What's the difference? God is good and he does good. It's in a psalm I'm reading every day over my life lately. But difficulties do come. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So he says you're going to have pressure. And one of the things that is part of God's transforming process in our lives is the challenges we face. Let's just call them challenges. It just sounds softer. We can glory. And by the way, all the New Testament writers, in one way or another, every one of them agreed with this. You know, James, he doesn't sugarcoat it at all. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Peter talks about if it need be you suffer for a while, rejoice. John writes concerning it and the challenges of life. But all of those things, very few places in Scripture will you find kind of a formula. But there is a little bit here of difficulty and tribulation does something. And if I can just get right to the point, it works within your life and within mine, the fruit of the Spirit. Remember a few minutes ago I convinced you should sign up to be changed? This is one. Gotcha. This is one of the ways God does it. Oh, God, change me. Oh, wait, not that way. Let's do this another way. Isn't there another way? In fact, Jesus said that. Father, if there be any other way, one of the few places, probably the only place where God's will and Jesus' will was not quite in alignment. And he was saying, you know, so he ends up saying, well, not my will, Jesus speaking, not my will, but yours. So he says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. That means see the splendor. Glory is, I mean, you can give it all kinds of words, and there's different words for the glory of God, but it's about the splendor of God. It's about the countenance of God. And one of the ways that the countenance of God becomes your countenance is through the difficulties that we go through. If we allow that pressure, and it is pressure, to transform us rather than conform us. There's an old saying, don't let difficulties of life make you bitter, let them make you better. And we heard about it prophetically this morning. You know, Juanita got up and said, you know, it is really, really easy to trust God when I don't need to. When everything is going really well. In fact, I'm not sure I'm trusting God. I'm just on autopilot. But when there's a testing of our faith, and that's what it is. The Bible tells us that. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, James. And then he goes on to say, for the testing of your faith produces something. And you know what it produces? Perseverance. Patience. Endurance. There's a number of different words for it. None of you prayed for patience, did you? Oh, my. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation does something. It produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It does something in our lives. And if you were really honest, the difficult things that you've gone through in the past, you could say, wow, that did something in me. I'm glad it's gone. But it did something. Because, see, in those times, we get to know two things. We get to know ourselves, but more than that, we get to know our God. And we get to experience him to be somebody that he has never been for us before. And we've maybe heard rumors that he's such and such, but we've never actually lived it or experienced it. All of a sudden, we find ourselves in a time of pressure, whatever it is, tribulation. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's just over and over again. And sometimes we don't like to talk about this. But we need to talk about it with a confidence that even as we sung this morning, at those times, we are the most aware of how faithful God is. And we get to experience him, and it is no longer just a promise on the pages. It is a promise that is being written on the pages of my heart. And I'm getting to know this God. And I'm getting to find out he really is as faithful as the book says he is. And he really does the things that the book says he does. And it's no longer an opinion. It is a reality of my life or your life. You don't sound convinced. Oh, I believe you are. You know. And we need to know, because here's the danger, and I said this last week, because we are preaching what Paul called the word of faith. And one of the errors of the word of faith that some, not all, I believe the fathers of it didn't go there, but many of the students did because it was easier. One of the doctrines that went along with the word of faith was that if you're in a difficult situation, it's because you didn't have faith. And that's just not true. We're still going to face things. But the great confidence we can have is faith gets us through them. See, faith doesn't make everything easy. It makes everything possible. And so it's working in our lives. And there's this awesome opportunity that we have to get to know God in a way that we'd never get to know him before. Now, I don't suggest you go out looking for tribulation. There's times and there's seasons, and we just need to be comfortable in those seasons to recognize that God is doing something. And I want to say again, it doesn't mean he authored it. It doesn't mean it's from him. We need to understand that. Because it is easy. Sometimes we can get mad at God because we assumed that we were his favorite. And some preacher told us we were. You are his favorite. And so am I. And for that very reason, he has invested his son in changing and conforming you to look more like Jesus every day. And one of the ways, this is one of the ways. Last week we talked about the transformation process taking place through the Word of God and the declaration and our faith and our confidence in the Word of God. In fact, when you find yourself in difficulties, trials, and tribulations, I want to encourage you, get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into your mouth. Because God never intends you to stay there. See, sometimes God puts a mountain in our life because he wants to teach us how to speak to it and tell it where to go. He wants us to grow up on the inside and recognize the power that we have in our voice to speak to the mountain. It's quiet, but I know it's because you're listening. And we have all of this working of the Spirit on the inside of us. If you still haven't had the revelation that God, this big God, isn't living in you, you'll always be looking elsewhere instead of looking here. He's closer than you think. That's why the voice is so still and silent a lot of times. He's resident within you, and he's resident within me. So we are transformed through the difficulties we go through, but we're transformed. There's a character that we... My encouragement to you is don't short-circuit the process. In your life, let God have his way. Let him work his work. Let him work his transformation. You do your part, which is to stand in faith. See, it's in those times of our faith being tested that we get to fight the good fight of faith. How do we do that? By refusing to put our confidence in anything except God. And getting to know him in the process. Okay, turn with me to something. Second Corinthians. By the way, I do want to mention, if you were not here on May 20th, I want to encourage you to get a message that my daughter preached. Excellent message on getting to know Christ. Taking off the declaration. See, she brought out so well in that message. And I say that not because she's my daughter, but because it was a very good message. Paul, a seasoned man of God, had this desire that we're talking about here this morning. By the way, he had a few trials, let's just say it that way. He's the one that wrote Romans 5, and he understood tribulation, and he understood the possibility of glorying in it. In fact, he did. He wrote elsewhere and said, because apostles around the church were getting into glorying and bragging, he said, okay, I'll enter into this silly little game. In my verbiage, not his, but he said, I'm speaking as a fool. He said, okay, I'll get into this silly game. I'll glory in my tribulations. I'll glory in my scars. I'll glory in what I've walked through. And he lists a bunch of things, credentials, like in the deep for 3 days and 3 nights, or lashes 3 times. you know, just, and it's like, what, is he nuts? No, he understood the processing of God in his life. So that was on May 20th, if you want to check out that message. It was just very good about getting to know Christ, that I might know him. The Apostle Paul, seasoned man of God, I haven't yet attained it, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. Yes, everybody sign up for that. And the fellowship of his suffering. Wait a minute. By the way, they do go hand in hand, and you cannot have one without the other. It can look like you have it for a while, but the one begets the other. And you might say, well, that does not sound like faith, but that is faith. It's confidence. It's faith in God. It's not faith in finding a formula that protects me and insulates me from those evil people all around me. It's a jungle out there. It is a jungle out there. And you can be a monkey or you can be a lion. It's up to you. And if you choose to be a lion, there will be one who will roar from the inside, on the inside of you. And he'll put a roar in your mouth that'll shock people around you. Okay, I want to talk about another way in which that we're talking about weight. How does this transformation process, so far we've talked about the word of God in my mouth. The declaration of my word brings transformation in my soul and in my body. Because remember, be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. We're talking about not transforming our spirit. That's already transformed. That's a done deal. I'm transforming my soul. That part of me that kind of comes along really slow. And if given a chance, we'll finally come along and say, okay, but if I'm going to do this, I'm going to be really religious about it. Watch me. You want to see performance? I'll show you performance. How do you think I know that? And so we can conform. Because see, the reality is you can conform to a church culture. And a religious culture, and you can just become very religious. But you're not transformed. You're not changing from the inside out. You're purposing to change things from the outside in. And it looks really good on the outside, but on the inside, it's full of dead man's bones. That's why part of the process is trials, but that's not the only process. It's not only the word of God, and it's not only trials. It's also the sweetness of the presence of God, the glory of God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. I'm going to go through this very quick. But if the ministry of death written engraved on stones was glorious, speaking of the law and the children of Israel, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels it. What did he just say? Basically, he's saying this. If the law and what Moses brought to the children of Israel had a measure of glory on it, how about and it's the old covenant. How about the new covenant that replaced the old covenant? He said he's saying this in my words. He's saying, I know it had some glory on it, but compared to the glory of the new covenant, it's almost as if it had none. It did have glory, but it really, compared to what is now, it didn't have much glory. Writer of Hebrews said in another place, not only that, but it had not the ability to change man. Isn't it not the ability to transform? Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. There's speech again, very important. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. See, Moses went up on the mountain, met with God. He came back down from the mountain, and his face shone or shined, and it freaked people out. Why? Because what? He had said to God, "Show me your glory." And so Moses, and he didn't get to see the fullness. Remember, he hit him in the cleft of the rock, and he said, "You can see my back." That's how I believe Moses could write the first five books of the Bible. He saw where God had been. He saw. That's why he could write Genesis. He saw God. He saw. You ever think about that? Adam didn't write it. Who wrote it? He saw the glory of where God had been. He had by revelation a history, and some of you might understand that. You can be driving through a traffic light and have God drop something in you in an instant, and all of a sudden you know a whole bunch of information and you haven't even processed it yet. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So he comes down from the mountain with the glory on his face. So he speaks to the people, and believe me, they listened. But then he puts a veil over his face, and Paul tells us why. He didn't want the people to see that the glory faded. So he would keep a veil over his face until it was time to go back up on the mountain and recharge again. Get recharged, get all shiny faced again, and come back and speak to the people. The people assumed he shines like that all the time. No, he doesn't. Ask him to take the veil away. It was a glory that was temporal. I want to say this to us. There's a tendency in our thinking to desire Old Testament glory. Bill Johnson tells of a time when in their sanctuary up on the platform over, I think it was a keyboard or drums or something, it began to leak water. And at first they thought, well, it was condensation in the air conditioning, and then they realized it wasn't. It was a supernatural, spiritual event. They had to move the keyboard, it was just water, just dripping. The floor was getting wet. When people realized, this is not natural, this is spiritual, people got in line to walk through the water. And I like what Bill Johnson said. Do you know what he said? Every person that got touched by that water got wet. And he was making the point I'm making this morning. It was nifty. But so what? And I know there's a lot of things happening. There's oil forming in Bibles and out of Bibles, and they're putting it in buckets. And I'm not poo-pooing any of that. If God wants to do that to my Bible, I'm for it. But I tell you what, it will never replace the glory of Jesus Christ. It will never replace the reality of the Son of God, the works of God, and the uniqueness of God. You know, and there's gold dust and there's gems, and all of that is precious. Amen. And it's fine. But there's a glory that's greater than that. That's an external glory. There's an internal glory that changes lives. And it comes from the source of all glory himself, God. So let's just jump. Well, we'll read this as long as we're into it. But their minds are so. So Moses just veiled his face, so they didn't know that it was passing away. That was verse 13. But their minds were blinded until this day. And the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lays on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Here's where I really wanted to get. But we, that's you and I, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror. And what are we beholding? The glory of the Lord. We're beholding the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed. Transformed into what? The very same image. Very same image of what? Of the one we're beholding. Part of the meatiness of Renee's word on May 20th was about spending time with God, to getting to know Him. And it is one of the primary way that He brings transformation in our lives. He changes us as we behold Him. We're conformed to the image of His dear Son. That's a different word, conformed, by the way, that says be not conformed to the world. It isn't a pressure. It is a, oh goodness, it is a fashioning. He fashions us to look more and more like Jesus. How does He do that? Through His word, through difficulties, but also through His person, through His presence.